that you've exalted above your very name. May we totally be immersed in your presence and in your love and in your goodness. Lord, we're here to bring glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. And the church says, amen. Turn in your Bibles tonight with me, if you'd be kind enough, to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And I'm going to ask you several questions as you're turning there. You know, it's right there after Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And the first question I'd like to ask you is this. Is there anything better than being in the perfect will of God? It's okay, it's Wednesday night. Let me hear you. No, absolutely not. Second question. Is it possible for all of us, everyone that's present tonight in this chapel, is it possible for all of us to participate in God's perfect will? Absolutely. Third question. Did you know that the word saint is always used in the plural in the New Testament? Have you ever noticed that? It's the saints of God and so forth. And meaning that we're one body. Meaning that there's not any lone rangers in the body of Christ. Amen? There might be a lot of Rambos, that's who we are, but there's not any lone rangers, okay? We're one body, we're members of one another. The word saint is used 97 times in the Old Testament and New Testament, okay? We know what that word means. It means separated unto God, consecrated unto God. It means set apart unto God, and it also is hagios, meaning we are now holy by virtue of our relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let me give you a few scriptures, if you don't mind tonight, about that word, the word saints. In Moses's, for example, Moses's final farewell, Deuteronomy 33, Moses says, you know what? He loves the people, meaning God, and all of his saints, as Moses is praying, his final address to the children of Israel, the second generation, all of his saints, he says, are in your hand. What a wonderful. I need to go on a handheld. You need to let me know. Okay, do you want me to do that? I can't see you from here. I wear contacts. The other scripture, let me give you another one, Psalm 34, 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, plural. There's no want to those who fear him. Psalm 149, 1. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, and praise and his praise in the assembly of the saints. Tonight, you are God's assembly. Amen? You're the saints of the living God. It says in Psalm 149:5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Did you do that last night before you went to bed? Okay. 1 Corinthians 6:1. Do you not know, Paul says, that the saints, that's us, the set-apart ones, the holy ones of God, that we will judge the world. If you went on down in chapter 6, verse 3, it was said, do you not know that we, the saints, will judge the angels? Man, what an incredible privilege we have before us. Colossians 1:12, just a couple more, bear with me. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's who we are. We're God's set-apart one. We're the light of the world. Amen? And then in Hebrews 6:10, a great, glorious scripture. For God is not unjust to forget your work, your labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, here it is, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Question, is it truly for you, personally, a labor of love to minister to the body of Christ, to the saints of God? That's something that really should be deep within our hearts. Are you in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 yet? Let's look tonight here at this word about a threefold cord. It says in verse 9, Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one. And may I say that three would be better than two. Is that okay to say that? So two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. There's nothing greater than the value of a friend, a companion. Amen? Man, listen, you know, many hands make for a light load. And you know, tonight, you know, it's so sad, and it happens in our society now greater than it ever has. And that is people, their lives around themselves. Did you know that loneliness is real? But did you know that loneliness is a choice? Not me. Oh. What do you think it is, doctor? Radio. It's the radio? You going to hold this? Testing, 1, 2, test. Is that it? Can you hear me? All right, you're going to have to turn me up just a little bit, if you don't mind, so I doesn't echo up here at the in the holy place, all right? You know I'm teasing, don't you? Let me go back now because of all the confusion. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. So the value of a companion, the value of a friend, like I just said, many hands make for a light load. And you know, again, there's so many today in the body of Christ, but even so more in the world, they're just lonely. They sit in their homes alone. They're all by themselves. But you know, they don't have to. Really and truly, loved one, listen to me. Loneliness really is a choice. The saints of God, we don't have to be lonely, do we? I mean, my Lord, we come together to meet with the Lord, to bring glory to our Savior. He goes on and Solomon writes, he says in verse 10, "For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls." You remember that commercial? "Help, I've fallen, and I can't get up." Never mind. It says, "But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up." Well, it's a true word, but this is more than a physical fall. I mean, it's also a spiritual fall. When you get in trouble spiritually. You know, the Bible teaches us in, what is it, Galatians 6, 1, "Ye who are spiritual," when your brother or sister been taken over in a fault, "restore such a one with the spirit of gentleness, lest you also be tempted." So, you know, when we see someone fall, we want to help them get back up, amen? What a great brother, a great friend to have is whenever we do fall, they pick us up, they pray for us, and they love us. Verse 11, If two lie down together, they will keep warm. And that is a very true word, especially if you've been married and you get older in life. You know what happens? Man, it's like your bedroom can become like a radiator, you know? So it says they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Though one be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And here is our text tonight. And a threefold cord, say that, threefold cord is not quickly or easily broken. Three ropes, if you will. Now, a lot of people use this scripture in marriage. It's a wonderful thing to use in, like in a wedding and so forth, you know, because you have the husband, the wife, and then God the Father, the Holy Spirit, so forth. So those, you can never fail with that. But a threefold cord speaks of, in our text, of great power, of great unity, that results in great strength. Psalm 133, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity." And we should keep the spirit of unity and so forth. So we are the church of Jesus Christ, amen? We're to have one heart, one mind, and we're to be striving together, meaning in unity, for the faith of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're to be doing. And it's very easy to break one of us, in a sense. But when you have three of us, you better not mess with us. Amen? Because a threefold cord is not easily broken. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you rather have one saint praying for you, or would you rather have two saints praying for you, or would you rather have three saints praying for you? Three. Well, that's a very good word because a threefold cord is not easily broken. You know, I'm not into numbers. I'm not one who studies out the numbers in the Bible and tries to find hidden messages or hidden codes. And if you do that, I would encourage you to be very, very careful. Amen? You have to be careful with things like that. But you know, the number three, not only is the number three a key number in the Bible, But loved one, listen, is a very interesting number as well. I mean, you can take numbers like, you know, 6 or the perfect number of God, which God loves, and that's a number 7. Is it?
It is. You are incredible.
Testing. Thank you. Oh, let's thank Devin, shall we? See, Devin. Everybody boo Devin. No, I. Well, I'm so confused now. Let's go home, you know. Let me unplug this just in case. I don't want to have. Shocked up here, whatever. The number 3, again, is a very interesting number, okay? Just like the other numbers, like 7 is God's perfect number. And then 40, God uses it over and over in Scripture, you know, the sign of judgment and so forth. However, again, we must be careful with this, but, you know, I believe that God had a great reason to use certain and specific numbers throughout the Bible, and it doesn't hurt us studying those things out. Even though we must be careful. I mean, God loves numbers, or he has a book called Numbers. Amen? So with all that being said, if you would bear with me, this is going to be lengthy just for a little bit, but you can stand it. It's Wednesday night. Bear with me, and let me just give you a few of the threes in the Bible. For example, the Hebrew Bible is divided into 3 categories. You have the Pentateuch, or the 5 books of Moses. You have the prophets, and then you have what we call the writings, okay? So, but its division is in by 3. There were 3 sons of Adam that are mentioned only by name, and that is Cain, Abel, and Seth. All men, for example, are descended from the 3 sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. There were 3 patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, there were 3 things in the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, the golden pot of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the 10 commandments. And then the tabernacle, the temple, remember that it was both divided into 3 compartments. You have the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. Then Moses, if you'll study that out, how long was Moses hidden? 3 months, okay? Elijah, remember when he stretched out over the body of the widow's son, how many times did he do that? 3 times. Now, it also says here, there were 3 men in the fiery furnace. We know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The 4th man, of course, the pre-incarnate Christ, was there. And now we have also Jonah. How many days did Jonah spend in the belly of the great whale or fish? 3. All right. How many days did Jonah walk across Nineveh after he got right with God? 3 days. Okay. Daniel. How many times a day did Daniel pray? 3 times a day. Paul, he was blinded. Remember when he met the Lord on the Damascus Road? How long was he blind? 3 days. Not only that, Paul prayed. We just learned this past Sunday. He prayed how many times for the thorn of flesh to be taken away? 3 times. Now, God also showed Peter in a vision there in Acts chapter 10 in Cornelius' household. He showed him a vision 3 times. And that was, of course, the sheet coming down, rise, kill Peter, kill and eat. And there's the triune God in the Bible. There's the Father, there's the Son, the Holy Spirit. He's omniscient, he's omnipotent, he is omnipresent. Then the devil. What is the 3 things the devil comes to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. And then we have the New Jerusalem. If you went into Revelation 21, and you would find, remember, the gates of the city, the big, beautiful walls with the jasper, sapphire, and all the rest of it. You would find on each wall, north, south, east, and west, how many gates did each wall have? 3 gates. Isn't that, you see what I'm getting at? It's very interesting. Mary and Joseph, how many days did they search for Jesus when Jesus was 12 years old and he was in the temple teaching? 3 days. Now, how many days was Jesus tempted there in the wilderness? 3, by the wicked one. He had an inner circle of 3 people, James, Peter, and John. Now, how many times did Jesus pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? 3 times. I know. Can you bear with me for a few more? Okay, let me give you this one. The sign that Pontius Pilate put over the commanded be put over the head of Jesus on the cross, how many languages were on that sign? Three. Now, Jesus was crucified in Roman time. It would be the third hour. He rose from the dead on the third day. He predicted that Jesus would deny him how many times? Three, and he did. And how many, whenever Jesus restored Peter in John chapter 21, how many times did Jesus say, Peter, lovest thou me? Three times. Now, Jesus said this. Number one, I am the way. Number two, I am the truth. Number three, I am the life. Now, we have God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. That's our baptismal when we baptize. Now, and not only that, we are a triune being. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. Or have I bored you to death yet? Okay, are you still with me tonight? Okay. I would say then, as my notes as I put down, I would say this, that the number three evidently is very important to God. Amen? So let me ask you a few questions again. Would you rather have one saint pray for you? Would you rather have two saints pray for you? Or would you rather have three saints praying for you? Three, absolutely. Now, is it possible for all of us tonight to participate in God's perfect will? Yes, it is. Absolutely. Turn in your Bibles with me, and please do so. We're going to do a little turning now. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse 14, a very familiar verse that I know that each of you know very well. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. He says this, now this is the boldness, this is the courage, this is the fearless trust, this is the certainty. That's what that word confidence means. This is the confidence that we have in Him. We have that in God our Father, in Jesus Christ our Savior, and in the Holy Spirit, the divine helper of the church, who can never lie. It says, we have this confidence that in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He what? Can you believe that? If we ask anything, if a saint of God asks anything according to His will, here's the divine promise. God hears your prayer. Amen? He hears you. Man, listen, I don't know about you, but I know this. When we pray according to the will of God, what is the will of God? The Word of God. Amen? The Bible that you hold in your hands is the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. It's the living Word of God and the will of God, okay? This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, and you look up that word anything, that's a big word, isn't it? Anything, but it has to be according to His will. That's the only limitation to our praying, specifically about this verse. Anything according to His will, He hears us. You know, there's nothing greater than God hearing your prayer. You've heard me say it a million times in this church, all these years. Prayer is not in the power. The power of prayer is not in the one who prays it. It's the power of prayer is the one who hears it. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and His ears are open to their prayers. Now, let me ask you a question. Is when we pray to the Lord, private times, public prayer, whatever it might be, are we praying for our will to be done or His will to be done? God's will to be done. Whenever the disciples came unto the Lord and they said, Lord, teach us to pray as John has taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus said in Matthew 6, 9, He said, well, in this manner pray ye, or in this divine pattern, or whatever. And he goes and He says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth it is in heaven. Not my will, but God's will. There's nothing greater than God's will. Amen? There's not a safer place than to be in God's perfect will. And that's what we should all want. And then He says, look at verse 15. And if we know, that word means if we have the assurance that God hears us. Now look at this verse. Whatever we ask, meaning according to God's will, whatever we ask, we know, again, we have the assurance, and here it is, that we have it right that moment. We have the petitions that we have asked of Him. That's an incredible, unbelievable scripture, isn't it? Because it just said right there that God hearing our prayers equal us having it. Now, wait a minute. I don't see it yet. Well, then we're waiting on the manifestation of it. Does that make sense? We're waiting on God. God says, I've heard it. I'll get around to it at the exact right time. Now, God says no only when it's outside of His perfect will. And so that's why it's so important. Now, question. I want you to turn in your Bibles now. Just turn now. You're going to have to go back the other way in the New Testament and go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 with me. And I'm going to ask you a question as you turn to 1 Timothy 2:1. Is this the will of God? This is very important. Now, watch this. 1 Timothy 2:1. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, Paul says, intercessions, giving of thanks, be made for few men. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, all men. Well, let me ask you a question then. For all men, would that also include the saints of God? Absolutely. So, did you notice the first priority that Paul tells Timothy? Because Timothy was sent there to get the church in order, because the church was out of order, because it wasn't praying. A church that doesn't pray is not in order, okay? So the first priority is that, you know, first of all, that's what it means. It's number one. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So we know that that is a priority. And then He gives three specific ways to pray. You notice that the first one is supplications. That is when you are giving a specific request unto God. I mean, it's a specific request for that personal need, for someone else or yourself. And then it says prayers. That means all prayers, any kind of prayer in general, okay? And then the next one is intercessions. Now, this is for all people. Intercessions means that you enter the burden, you enter the struggle of someone else, and you are praying for that individual, male or female, okay? Now look at it again. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, in other words, praying with that attitude of gratitude, be made for all men, and if in the Greek, that's a generic expression, meaning all men and all women. For kings, for all who are in authority, that would be our president, vice president, Supreme Court, mayors, governors, and so forth. And look at the reason, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So if you study this out correctly, the peace of the city, for example, that we live in, the nation that we live in, is directly related to the prayers of the saints. That's why prayer is so paramount and it's so vital. Did you know that no person on this planet is outside the influence of your prayer? You can pray for people all over the world anytime you want. Man, what a thought that is. And God just said in His word here, He said that all people, no matter who they are, saints and the ain'ts, as J. Vernon McGee would always say, you know, He said, listen, all people need our prayers. Now let me back up. Do all the saints need our prayers? Man, boy, that is God's will, isn't it? Look how God loves prayer. Watch this now. He says, for this, meaning this praying, look at this, for this is good. In other words, our praying. That word good there means beautiful, okay? For this is beautiful. It's acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Why? Well, because He desires all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. There's no doubt about that, God, that how powerful and important prayer is. Amen? Remember what it said in James 5:16? It says, confess your faults one to another. Now, I want to stop on that one. You know, be careful about that. That doesn't mean you're supposed to go and just, well, look at my life. I've done all this. That's not what that's saying at all. You got to be very careful about that. You know, if you've blown it, okay, go to the Lord. If you've blown it against somebody else and you've sinned, go to them, okay? And then it says in James 5:16, it says, confess your trespasses one to another. And here it is. And pray ye, talking about the saints of God, pray ye one for another, or one to another. Why? That ye may be healed. That you might be healed. That's talking about physical healing. It's talking about a spiritual healing as well. Whatever you're suffering from. It says the prayers of a what's the next part? What does it say? No. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man, not a super saint, but a saint, okay, availeth much or is very, very powerful. Do you believe that? That is exactly what the Word of God says. Now turn with me one more time, or maybe two more, but turn to Ephesians and go to chapter 6 as I turn there with you. Ephesians chapter 6 and look at verse... let's just start with verse 17. Now, this, of course, is about the armor of God tonight, or in our text, rather. It says, and take the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, here it comes. This is the part of the armor that this spiritual discipline that most people, when they put on the armor of God, they do not include verse 18. And boy, that's why you see Christians, they have the armor of a God on, but they stand paralyzed in battle. And the reason is because they neglect prayer is the work. Amen? So watch this now. And praying always. I mean, that means on all occasions. Matter of fact, if I should have given you that other scripture in 1 Timothy, when we were in chapter 2, if you went down to verse 8, God says in His Word, that I command men to pray everywhere, wherever you are, praying, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Wherever you are, your Burger King, pray. Amen? That's right. Now, look at it again. Praying always, meaning on all occasions, and watch this now, with all prayer. That means all kinds of prayer, public prayer, fastings and praying, private praying. You're praying in good times. You pray in bad times. Just keep on praying always. And it says, and supplication, there's that word again. And here's how to do it. The power of prayer is found when we pray in the Spirit. There's a lot of people that we can pray, man, for hours in the flesh and never get anything accomplished. See, the flesh accomplishes nothing. The flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing, Jesus said, amen. So the power of prayer is always in the Spirit, where the Spirit is helping us to pray, because we don't know how we should pray. Amen? That's right. We don't read Romans 8:26 later, and it mentions the word saints there as well, how the Spirit comes to our aid to help us in our prayer time, for we know not how to pray or what we should pray for. So we pray in the power of the Spirit, and watch this one now, being watchful to this end with all perseverance, meaning that never giving up attitude, and supplication for all the what? Isn't that amazing? All the saints. When is the last time you prayed for a saint of God? Think about that for a minute. I mean, where you actually went to them and you prayed for them. When it says being watchful in prayer, again, don't neglect your prayer time. Don't neglect praying. Peter writes in 1 Peter 4:7, he says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, meaning be a very, very expectant people. And then it says that we should persevere in prayer, never giving up. Listen, I've told you this at times, and I know you do it as well. I'm still praying. I've been praying for some people for years. Every morning. I know God hears my prayer. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'll never quit in Jesus' name. Do you understand? I know that prayer is the work, and I know the right time that God's going to answer that prayer. And I'll tell you what, when I see it come to pass, that'll be when those things happen, I'll just dance all over this building. You can say, well, he's a Baptist-costal or something. I don't know. You know? No, listen. That perseverance, that never fainting, and never, ever, ever quit persevering in prayer unless the Holy Spirit of God tells you to. And then it's okay. It's all right. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Persistence in prayer. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, 5:17? To pray without ceasing. Jesus said in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not faint, not be discouraged, never ever give up. Jesus told us in Matthew 7:7, he says, ask and you shall receive, knock or seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. Actually, in the Greek, it would be keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. Listen, prayer is always going to be the work of the saints of God. Amen? That is so very important. But what I want you to see tonight, very simple Bible study that's going to lead to something, is what in verse 18 there, what is the object of our prayers? Come on, do your homework. It's right there in front of you. What's the object of our praying? The saints of God. Amen? You see that? The object of our prayers are all the saints. Now, you're probably going, now I'm more confused, Bill, than when I came in. He says, because you're talking about a number three, and I don't really know where you were going with that, and then all of us being in God's will tonight and so forth. And so if you're asking or thinking about that, I'm very glad that you ask, okay? Because tonight, we're going to do something. We're not everyone, of course, because there's no pressure, but tonight is a night that we need to do something. And that is we need to get out of our comfort zones on a Wednesday night service, especially tonight. And we need to get out of our comfort zones and we need to do what God says in His Word, what is the will of God. And that is where we minister by prayer to the saints of God. You know what Jesus told us? He said where two are, how many? Two or three. There's that word again. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, are we gathered in his name? He said, I'm right there. I'm right there in the midst of these. Let me read Ecclesiastes 4:11 again. He writes and says, if two lie down together, well, will they keep warm? But how can one be warm alone? And though one be overpowered by another, well, two can withstand him, but a threefold rope, a threefold cord, a threefold cord of saints is not quickly broken. Now, let me be redundant tonight and ask the same question all over again. Would you rather have one saint of God praying for you? Are two saints of God praying for you? Are three saints of God praying for you? Three saints. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. You know that the cheese in my life has slid off the cracker. No, it's okay. I know it has. You know that I'm a very weird individual. And it's okay. And you know, but listen to me now. When I asked the Lord Monday morning, I asked him where we were going Sunday night for Wednesday because it's the summer now. The book of Job is complete. Well, that night I had a dream. Now, I'm not led by dreams. Do you understand? I'm led by the Spirit of God. But it was the most unusual dream that I'd ever had. And here we were, all of the saints of God at this church. And I was preaching like I normally do. But then I saw three saints and three saints, and three saints in my dream. And they were like in a little circle. And then one who was hurting, one who was sick,
one who needed prayer, came down, and they removed their arm, and they walked into the midst of that. And a threefold court of saints prayed for that one individual, whatever that specific request was. Well, I woke up in the middle of the night, and it was so real. And so I thought, well, you know how you dream and then you don't remember it once you wake up? You know, because anyway. So when I got up, the first thing I thought about again was that dream. And I thought, what does that mean, Lord? You know, I don't dream that kind of stuff. And, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And I said, and you're not wanting me to do something weird, are you? So that morning, I thought about threes. And then I said to myself, Ecclesiastes 4:12. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Then I thought about that number three and how it's one of God's words that he uses. There must be a reason why three is so important. I'm not going to try to define that, but I know it's important to God because everything, so many things, and I just gave you a few, do you understand, of the threes that God uses. So here's what I would like for you to do tonight. There's absolutely no pressure on anyone, but it would do you good to get out of your comfort zone, okay? So here's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to say goodbye to the online congregation. Thank you for joining us tonight. If you'll send in $1,000, you'll be able to see. You know I'm joking. I love you dearly. Thank you for tuning in, but we're going to say goodnight to you because we're going to now do some body ministry that is only should be done here in the privacy of this chapel. So with all that being said, good night. I love you. Now, but listen carefully. Those who feel comfortable, I would like to have three people who say, I want to pray for those that are hurting. I want to pray for the saints of God. I'd like to have three people right here. And then I'd like to have three people right here. Come on, don't. I know I have some elders here. You guys got to step out. And right there, three, three, and three. Is that okay? Thank you, Jason. You're a blessing. Give me that. But, you know, now these people are going to get in sets of threes, and they're going to get in a little circle around the people who need to be praying for. And here's what I want you to do. Now, if you need prayer tonight, then I want you to come. And in just a moment, when I ask you to come up, and I want you to be prayed for. Now, we have some really sick, hurting saints. They're not here. They're not here tonight. There are people that we pray for in this congregation every night. Danny, she's not here. Now, Carol Smith, you're here. We pray for you every night. Morris, we pray for you. You're here. But there are those that are here, not here tonight, and here's what I want. I'd like people to be their proxy. I would like for you to take their name and come and stand in, you know, in a moment to take their name and for you to stand in the circle of three and let these people be prayed for because these are the saints of God. Is that okay? Now, listen, I don't know what God's going to do. It doesn't matter to me. I just know that prayer is the work. And when we pray, something happens. Loved one, you better listen to me. It is time. It is time. It's time for the saints of God to wake up. It's time for the saints of God to do the will of God and not be afraid of man, not be afraid of what other people think, and not be afraid about getting out of their comfort zones, and never be afraid on, well, I don't know how to pray. You know how you pray? You open your mouth and let the Holy Spirit of God put the words in there for you. Amen? That's how you do it. So with all that being said, the first thing I'd like to do tonight is that I would like those, I have several names here, and that you, who would be, let me just step out of here. Let me get down the floor like an evangelist. Very important. Very important. This one here is vital. This one is a miracle. We have to have a miracle. I can't tell you the person's name. They have to have what you see on that. They have to have it to live. live? How could we not pray for that? Do you understand? You see, here's one right here. Well, I already got. Morris, you're already here, brother. But you know you can come down here, right? Here's one right here. She's not here. She just got out of the hospital. Will someone stand in proxy? Because she needs, thank you, sister. You are a blessing here. Thank you so much. This one, I'm in touch with every day. I'm praying my heart out like the church is. Will someone take this lady's name? She just had chemo this afternoon. She's just a young woman. She needs healing. You're going to stand in? Thank you, Raphael. And this one here is so sick in our congregation. She is so sick. I wish I'm trying to look for somebody I know, I mean, that knows what I'm talking about. She has not been able to be in church for how long? A year? A year? You going to stand in? A year and a half. A year and a half. Okay, thank you. These two are here. One more. Now, here's what I'd like to do. Those who have the cards, just let's come on and let's get up here to the front now. And let's get into the group. And guys, pray over that person. These are the proxies. You're standing in for them. Amen? You're standing in. She's going to get right in the center. You're going to just wrap. You got three of them. There we go. Three of them right there. There's three. Right? There's right here. Carol, you need to be there to be prayed for. Amen. And you have it down there? Okay. All right, that's okay. Then when they're done, just go ahead and sit down. And when they're done, now listen, now you, the saints of God, let's join in with this, okay? Do you want your brothers and sisters made whole? Listen, the Bible says that I am the Lord God who healeth thee. Amen? That's not my words. That's the Bible. I don't understand healing any more than anybody else does. And we certainly don't schedule healings. We don't schedule miracles. We don't schedule revivals. But we certainly depend on miracles, don't we? Well, I believe that God's a healer. The Bible says he healeth all of our diseases. Now, I don't know how that works either. But I just believe the Word of God. I don't have to reconcile the Word of God when it comes to the supernatural. Do you understand? But I have to believe it. And I do believe it. And Bill, you need to come down tonight. Amen? Because you're on our prayer every morning. Every day, you're being lifted up. Morris, every day, you're being lifted up. Carol, she's already down here. Go ahead, you guys pray over them right now. Pray right now and ask God to be healing their bodies, strengthen them. Everybody in this church, pray. Come on. This is a body ministry time tonight. This is a crazy Wednesday, okay? Thank you, Lord.